this is left top respiratory. How does it feel to start a new job, to go to a new place and to meet new people? Have to learn to educate your ways of business, how it's kind of that something. That's the thoughts that's going through my mind as I head on my 2-hour drive up to Pennsylvania. I was supposed to start last week, but paperwork and other things held up the process, so now I'm headed out to my, what is to be my third travel assignment in Pennsylvania, at a much larger hospital than I've been working at. I've been oriented for two jobs before, but this one, like I said, I'm going to work in a little bit larger hospital, much larger hospital. And I'm almost not sure what to expect. But that's how it always is, you know, for travelers, for these work for assignment. You have to go there and make an impression, you know, that we are worth it, we're worth it, we're worth it, we're paid, you know, that we are paid for. That's usually not a problem. I usually enjoy what I do when I learn at a fairly quick pace. It's just the pull up the unknown until it becomes known. So going to this new facility and becoming a part of this healthcare team, learning their ways, but also learning their culture and how to adapt and be a part of the team, not going in with my own ego or preconceptions of how things should be ran at a facility that I've never been at before. But more so, a thought of being grateful or humble enough to know that there's other candidates that could have been picked up to this position, picked up this job, they could have been, you know, in the spot that I am in now. And when my assignment was pushed back, it made me a little anxious because I'm like, what if this assignment doesn't come through? What if, you know, they no longer need me to work on this contract and I'll be out of work for another week or two? So that's the issue I have sometimes with travel assignments, because the company, the hospital, get pulled out of the contract, you know, if they no longer need you to work at the facility. And then you'll be back at square one with the contract all over again. And in between times when you're not working at that contract, you're not getting paid. So that time in between times, you're just sitting there on your hands physically and trying to find ways to pick up money. And luckily enough for me, I had a per diem job that allowed me to work kind of, not as I see fit, but they don't have any obligations as far as weekends or holidays, because they just, you know, need you for work. And I've been at the facility for 5 years doing per diem work. So for me, you know, I'm kind of lucky in that regards that they allow me to still connect to the facility for DM work, because if I wasn't able to do that, I don't know what I would do. I would find a way, you know, to make money elsewhere, but it wouldn't probably be in the field that I enjoy working in. So driving out to this facility, you know, these are the things that's going through my mind, you know, the thoughts that I'm having as to, you know, will the people at the facility be nice? Will the people at the facility be inviting? Will this be a place that I enjoy working at? Because for me, this is the next 3 months of my respiratory career, of my life, will be at this facility. So I want it to be a pleasant place, a place that I can enjoy working at, for the people that I enjoy working around. And I believe it will be. I enjoy the teaching opportunities that I've afforded by going to different facilities and learning their culture and the language that they use. How things differ from the X facility and different facilities I've worked at before. Do we have any autonomy to make our own decisions? Because sometimes I feel like when we work in respiratory, I think that we are, you know, nebulizer, you know, providers and, you know, button pushers. Somebody called them, you know, sputum suckers. But I like to always go to a facility and involve myself and put my input put in. You know, that's why I enjoy respiratory care so much, because most times afforded the luxury to be a part of the healthcare team and actually be able to provide our valuable insight and give knowledge that we've accrued over the years, So I enjoy working in those aspects where the respiratory therapists are able actually to make some decisions, make some changes on the ventilator based on our skills and expertise and knowledge that we've accumulated over the years. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the pulmonary don't allow you to do so. And I think that just comes from developing and building rapport with the physicians at the hospital. You know, once you, they can see that you can operate in the capacity to make decisions on your own, they'll be more trusting and able to do so. And I've had a good relationship with pulmonary too, because I love what I do and I truly put thought and time into, you know, my assessments and my my approach to patient care. I'm not a therapist that, you know, just there for the money. I mean, although that's a good part of it, but being part of the patient's rehabilitation is also very important to me also. Finding different ways to get the patient, you know, oxygenating better or, you know, respiratory, you know, in a better state. I had to change my perspective a lot on a lot of different things that, and different ways I used to operate in, because, you know, the patients that we've been dealing with, like COVID patients, have a different, the whole pathology is different than, you know, what I'm used to dealing with. You know, there's aspects of, you know, restrictive lung disease, aspects of pneumonia. So you're dealing with all of these other factors that aren't usually together, but in this instance, they're compiling. You know, oxygenation is a really hard thing for the COVID patients, along with the, you know, stiffer lungs and mucus built up in the chest and the lungs. But it's been a thrill to be able to work in this capacity, you know, to feel somewhat more appreciated and needed. And that's, that comes, you know, over time, the respiratory getting a little bit more recognition for our work and our effort. So I'm appreciating the way that things are going and the way that we're headed. And I just want to continue, you know, making progress as a respiratory therapist and, you know, bringing more knowledge and understanding to the field. Because a lot of people don't even know what respiratory therapy is. And, you know, working in the hospital now, you know, there's much more understanding of respiratory field, because we are, you know, the ventilator providers. We're the, you know, the mechanics behind the breathing of these patients. So, my last respiratory assignment, I've been able to work with some ventilators that I've never worked with before. And that just makes, you know, my tool belt a little bit, you know, heavier, because I can now move forward and say that I have expertise or knowledge in this particular ventilator or this particular, you know, treatment there. We've been using the air bows a lot, we've been using vapor guns, not really vapor guns too much, but the air bows, the high flow, the cannulas. We've been able to try to prolong patients to be in ventilator, because it's, you know, much harder for patients to come off the ventilator in this particular situation, these particular patients, you know. A lot of times, you know, doctors have done that when they are put on mechanical ventilation, so put them on a higher flow of oxygen rather than mechanical ventilation has been somewhat beneficial to the patients and overall recovery process. So we've been using more of those. So, you know, I've been a little bit more able to be a little bit more fluent in airflow therapy. Granted that I had some understanding of it before, just been using it at a higher capacity now. It's just, you know, increasing my knowledge of the airflow therapy. But, you know, I'm excited. Like I said, this is the first day of my new assignment. I'm very excited to be headed out here and to, you know, see how the facility looks. See, you know, it was a cleaning hospital. See how the people are. You know, are they inviting? You know, are they cool? Are they respectful of our expertise and of our career? are they receiving? Are they ever receiving to outsiders? You know, I've had spoken to a friend who's been to a facility that recently for traveling. You know, just the not the experience with the hospital, but more so the experience with the other RTs that work in the hospital hasn't been as pleasant as it possibly could be. And I think that sometimes the culture of the hospital don't like outsiders, you know. But I would think that they would, because all the outsiders, in my respect, is doing is coming in and lowering the patient load for them or the workload for them, because, you know, less therapists, less, you know, people to distribute the work assignment out to. And then, you know, people are, you know, are there picking up overtime, and people are there being, you know, probably overworked in some respect. So I would think that it would be a pleasant addition, understanding that, you know, this is the job, and we're here for patient care, not for us to be best friends or to like each other or to go out to dinner and stuff together. So I don't really understand the discrepancy that happens in regards of things as such, but I have heard of it happening before. So I'm just hoping, you know, that's not my experience. And if it is my experience, I'll just have to, you know, work accordingly. You know, I have to still, you know, give my all for the patient care, not really there in regards to how the other therapists work and feel about me. But there is some relief in you knowing that you have an ally and, you know, some of the therapists, because, you know, they'll be more acclimated and understanding the ways of the facility and, you know, the ways of the hospital than you would be. So you might have to rely on them for, you know, just for reference purposes. So I'd rather not be at odds with my coworkers or people that I have to work with. It just makes an uncomfortable working environment. But that is very well the case in some respects. So I'm not going to let that idea into my mind as if this will become a thing, because I don't think that it will be. I usually get along pretty good with most people. I'm not argumentative or I'm not, you know, bad at, you know, I'm really here to just, you know, do my job and to be to get back to my family. This is a work assignment, you know, this is work. This is nothing more. As far as, you know, making someone happy or sad, that's my coworker. That's not, you know, the aim of my work assignment. It's really here for the patient care, the rehabilitation of the patients. So, in saying all that, I think that the assignment will be good. I think the assignment will be pleasant. I think the assignment will be a learning experience and allow me to further develop my respiratory understanding and knowledge base, and meet some new people in the process. So, still headed out there, and I'm excited. So I'll keep you guys posted on how this, you know, assignment is going. So I check you know, get to the hotel, maybe the hospital. So I'll be back. Keep you guys posted. We started our new travel assignment. Actually headed out to the new travel assignment right now. Driving on this interstate to get to our new destination. First week has been pretty amazing at the new travel assignment. The team was very inviting. Well, the team, the people that I met so far, that was mainly the upper management and the young lady who took me on my orientation and showed me the hospital. Of course, you know, things are run differently at this hospital. They have different, you know, ventilators, even different BiPAP machines that I haven't seen before, which adds to the intrigue even more. Makes me excited to learn new things. That's what I like about the Department of Respiratory, is constantly evolving. I've been in the field for almost 7 years, and I'm still learning new modalities and new forms of another therapy that I haven't used before. So my first day of orientation, you know, was mainly paperwork and getting reoriented to the Epic system, the computer system that we use for charting. But I was lucky enough to be able to see some ventilators and bipeds that the company has been using. And like I said, it's mind-blowing that, you know, I've been in the field for so much time and I haven't come across ventilators before. So for me, it's like a kid in the candy store, because there's even modalities that are a little bit foreign to me, and it works with the body mechanics of the lungs. You know, it works with how loud the patient is breathing, how well, you know, their lungs are either elastic or has resistance to them. It gives us, you know, better ways to ventilate, to oxygenate the patient. And it's just kind of mind-blowing. I've been able to get somewhat acquainted with the facility, but it's like a larger hospital than I've ever worked with before, ever. So for me, this one here is going to take a little while getting used to, finding ins and out, you know, places to go. When you have some downtime, you know, places, different floors, different ICUs. Like this one has multiple ICUs and multiple EVs and multiple floors. And I've only been on one floor so far, you know, seeing, doing floor care, which is basically, you know, we did some neb treatments, and we did some secretion clearance techniques, some hyperinflation techniques. And even those ones are a little bit different than the ones that I'm used to dealing with at facilities out there before. But that's like, you know, one of the greatest parts I take in my respiratory travel journey is that I'm still learning. And that's what keeps me most intrigued about the field, being able to constantly learn and, you know, apply that knowledge to patient care and how we can treat this patient and, you know, help with their rehabilitation. These COVID patients that we have now are a little bit different than any patient we had before, because they have a mix of respiratory issues that's, you know, that's going on with them at one time. And there seems to be a discrepancy in, you know, in therapies amongst different, you know, pulmonary physicians, basically trying to figure out, you know, what's the best ventilator treatment for these patients. I went to the facility, there was about 15 therapists working on night shift, and I'm used to working with, you know, only maybe, if we're lucky, you know, 3, sometimes 4, but to have 15 therapists on night shift gives me the idea that, you know, it's a much larger facility and much greater workload. But that, you know, there's a team there, you know, of people who's willing to help and stuff. They're willing to, you know, come into work and do what has to be done. So far, you know, meeting everybody has been pretty cool. You know, I've haven't really met the night shift yet, because I've been working like orientation on day shift. But tonight I'm going into the night shift and see who I'll be orientating with. I think I have maybe a week of orientation here. And you know, hopefully the vibe is there. Like, you know, sometimes you can work with people and it's just like, you know, they have no passion or interest in what they're doing. And especially if you're going to be somebody's teacher, I want to know, you know, everything I need to know to make me a best therapist. Like, you know, give me somebody that's going to show me the ropes the correct way. You know, sometimes in the field, things are different from how you learned in the school. Like, you know, the treatment is different from how you learned in the school. It's just a different way that we do things that, you know, we were taught in school. I mean, much of it is most similar. Like, you know, the numbers and the vitals are, you know, are much the same. But in some regards, you know, things are totally different. And you have to learn how the culture is of the place that you're working at, and, you know, how they do their stuff. So, you know, that's going to be the learning experience. You know, hoping that, you know, I'm able to gel with that culture and be able to, you know, mesh well with the support team and people that I'm working with. You know, and that we can work together to get to our common goal of the patient rehabilitation. I really haven't had any issues in any of the facilities that I've been working with before. Like, you know, I'm there for patient care to do what's best for the rehabilitation of the patient. But you do want a great support team there with you, working with you, helping you get, you know, to the answer. Sometimes you can't always figure it out on your own. So on referral basis, like, you know, it's good to have somebody or a group of individuals together that you can call and figure out where something is at if you're lost, or call and, you know, figure out, you know, with both of you heads combined, like, which point of therapy would be best for this patient. You know, sometimes respiratory is a solidary, you know, kind of work, because, you know, once you get your assignment, you're basically working on your own. And, like, a lot of times, if you are respected at the hospital, the respiratory team is respected at the hospital, the pulmonary gives you, you know, more autonomy in the decisions that you make in the treatment of the patients. But we also have to constantly prove on ourselves that, you know, we are worthy to be making these decisions, these life-altering, life-changing decisions for the patient. And, you know, without their trust from the pulmonary team, you know, they'll have to hold our hand through everything. Like, you know, we may get somebody into the ED, we need to know, like, you know, whatever their illness is, we have to, you know, figure out the best course of treatment for that particular patient. So sometimes, you know, having that arsenal in your head, knowing, you know, through trial and error, things that worked and didn't work before, or running it past your teammate, you know, running it past the pulmonary team, you know, but that being a part of a team is, like, you know, a real integral part of it, because we can't always do it on our own. And like I said, sometimes respiratory is a solitary thing, because, like I said, once you get your assignment, you're out there working on your own, but, you know, we don't always know the best course of treatment, and it's good to be able to refer to somebody, you know, after, you know, carefully thinking it through and trying to figure out the best course of treatment on your own, you know, referring to your partner or your coworkers and saying, you know, basically, like, I mean, we've tried this course of therapy already and it's not working for this particular patient, so what else can we use that could possibly be of aid to this patient, because the modality that I'm using right now isn't working, the treatment that I'm using right now isn't working. We tried, you know, everything else. What else do you think that would be a possible way to help this patient, particular patient in our situation? So it's good to be able to, like, you know, get along with your teammates, and making, you know, good sound decisions and bringing forth thoughtful ideas about, you know, the treatment of a particular patient. It's kind of I was getting distracted, you know, some point during the recording, because I'm dropping, you know, this rain up into my assignment. So I'm trying to be mindful of the road, and I have my headphones, and I want to be mindful of the road as well as, you know, other cars that's around and the weather conditions as well. But this has always been a nice, peaceful, relaxed drive. I've driven it before, because I had an assignment that's kind of close to where I'm going now. That was not too far from the area I'm in now. So I'm kind of used to the ride. I've taken it a few times before. That's a real nice, you know, maybe hour and 40 minute ride, but it's, you know, it's pretty peaceful. It's pretty straight path. Besides the inclement, you know, weather, it's a pretty nice drive. It was so delightful to have a good precept on my first day. Just to understand, you know, where I've come from. And I don't think there was no bias in the sense that, you know, they genuinely enjoy what they do, and I genuinely enjoy what I do, and we just work together this particular day on the treatment, you know, of our patients. And the day went smooth. Like, you know, I was able to learn the hospital. I met some other people that's, you know, nice as well. We exchanged pleasantries and, you know, got back to work. But in all, it really, you know, blew my mind that, you know, there was, you know, 15 therapists on night shift. And the hospital was so big. The hospital is so big. So much exploring to do. Like, I feel like a kid and, like, you know, just went to a theme park and I wanted to get on, you know, all the rides and explore all of the possible, you know, things that we can do at this hospital that I might not have been able to do at other hospitals, you know, bring some knowledge and expertise that I may have had in a prior, you know, situation until the situation, and, you know, just work from there. I'm hopeful that this will be a really great assignment, and that I can come away with it with some new knowledge and some new trainings on different therapies that I haven't used before, to carry that farther into my respiratory career. So as I finish this drive, I want to thank you all for tuning in to that self-respiratory. Restarting this podcast and being able to speak to people on a similar journey as me has been rewarded within itself. Outside of my work experience, I don't know too many people that are in respiratory that I've just met in the street that are respiratory therapists. But I think the name is getting bigger now. People are recognizing us for our contribution, especially in these hard times right now that we've been doing for the treatment, the patients, and being a part of the treatment team. So I'm just thankful to be in the situation and the place that I truly enjoy being in, a job I truly enjoy working in. And until next time, it's the best of the show. Hello, respiratory family. This is Let's Talk Respiratory. I've been on my travel assignment, I want to say a little bit over a month now. And the good news is I may be extending the contract there. So the invitation was sent out and I think I'm going to extend the contract there. So yay. So this hospital is the first hospital that I've worked at before that there was, this hospital is the largest hospital I worked at. I was at a hospital in Norristown that was, you know, similar in size, but this one is a little bit larger. It has about 4 or 5 ICUs. I maybe think 2 EDs, or just a large ED. And from the second floor up to the seventh floor is where respiratory therapy does care at. So we have a larger space to cover. And this is the hospital that I work. The first hospital I worked at, that we had such a large number of respiratory therapists on at one time. I think on night shift, it's anywhere between 7 to about 14, 15 respiratory therapists on, depending on the the acuity of the patient load and the patients that's in the hospital at the time. And it was a little bit larger size of patient load due to, you know, the COVID virus. But this is the first hospital that I worked at before that we had an oncology ward. And I didn't think that it would affect me the way it was. I really didn't put that much thought into it because I never think that I would work with oncology patients. Granted, I have a family member that died from cancer. And that was very hard, you know. So I think that now working on the oncology ward, it kind of takes me back a little bit to those feelings I had of when a family member of mine, you know, was sick with cancer. It gave me an emotional reaction that I haven't had, or that I've been able to, you know, shelter for some time. Like when I'm working in the ED or any other floor, I didn't have that visceral reaction that I initially had working with oncology patients. It was a different kind of feeling because I know that these patients, some of them here are, you know, actively, you know, going through having cancer, and some of them are in, you know, remission and things of that sort. But it just gave me a different feeling knowing that these patients, you know, was battling something so that doesn't really have a good prognosis. And I know that, you know, the chemo and the radiation, you know, may help prolong or even, you know, kill the cancerous cells, but it just gave me a visceral reaction that I didn't expect to have. And sometimes working in healthcare, like, you know, you see gunshot victims, or you see patients that come in with CHF and COPD and things of that sort, and it's like for respiratory, that's like, you know, that's our normal base of patients that we have, asthmatics, you know, COPDers, CHFers.
And we know the course of treatment a lot of times for these patients because we deal with them so frequently. And on oncology ward, there's not a lot of things we do with the oncology patients. Maybe some incidence spirometries, you know, maybe they're in the bed for a long period of time. We want to have them, you know, inflate their lungs and take deep breaths in, and the incidence spirometry help with that. Or the OPEP therapy, you know, for secretion clearance and like a chest physical therapy maneuver. So that's the majority of the patient load that I have when I work on the oncology floor, maybe even nebulizer treatments. But I just felt real empathetic, you know, to the patients when I was working up there. And it kind of struck me, you know, emotionally. Like, you know, it kind of had me feeling like, I wish it was more I can do. I wish that these patients didn't have to go through this, you know, this illness and have to deal with this condition. Like, you know, something that that's really out of their control. Like, you know, a lot of times patients have, you know, cancers in certain part of their bodies. And I don't think it's, you know, anything that they did during their life, you know, that contributed to them having cancer. Sometimes, like, you know, with lung cancer or, you know, throat cancer may come from, you know, smoking or... But I see people who come in with ovarian cancer, people come in with, like, you know, stomach cancer, you know, like cancer that's just metastasizing. Like, you know, I don't think that, I don't know if poor health or decisions that people make in life contributed to that. But it just makes me feel like cancer is something that, you know, once it's there, the best course of action is probably, you know, to go ahead with the immunotherapy that the patient's physicians has prescribed for them. But it just makes me a little bit more empathetic to the patient and their care. I mean, I'm empathetic to all my patients and all the care that I provide because I'm a healthcare provider, and that's why I got into the field. I genuinely like what I do, although I don't feel like coming to work on some days. But I'm there, I'm usually in a good headspace. I'm usually able to operate and to conduct myself and perform my duties as I'm supposed to do for the patients that need the care. But it just struck me differently. It just hit me differently when I got on the oncology ward. And it's like, you know, a few older folks, like, you know, and I really enjoy working with older folks for some reason. Like, they just look so sweet and innocent most times. Like, I mean, I know they had a large, you know, a very, you know, grand life, you know, that they've lived and they made it to this point. And that's a respectable thing. Like, I first admire, you know, people for getting to the age that they got to, you know, 70, 80, 90 years old, 94 years old, like, and still, you know, able to move around and do things and, you know, have some freedom and some mobility and be able to, you know, have somewhat of a decent life still. So I admire that, and I hope that, you know, one day I'll be able to get to that age as well. So I already have a soft spot for older, for senior citizens, older adults. And then seeing the, you know, the pathology that they had to deal with on top of that, you know, it just made me, you know, kind of mushy. And so they just reinstated, like, you know, patients having visitors at the hospital. But for all of that time, like, you know, patients that, you know, were going through COVID or actively still going through COVID, they can't have any visitors. But patients that's, like, you know, that's not in any COVID areas, or patients just having, like, you know, like, you know, like oncology, they're able to see, you know, they have able to have visitors now. But just think about it, you know, going through, you know, one of the most hardest times in your life, things that you probably thought you wouldn't have to deal with, you know, and not being able to be around your family and friends. Like, you know, I spoke to some patients and they told me that was, like, the hardest part of, you know, being in the hospital. Like, you know, they were able to FaceTime the patients, I mean, their family, but majority of it, you know, they weren't able to have no visitors. And, like, you know, they're, you know, emotionally distraught because they aren't home, they're in their bed, they're in a foreign place, you know, in this hospital, in these hospital beds, you know, dealing with people in and out of their room every 4 hours, you know, your respiratory come in every 4 hours, and then nursing come in and do what they have to do, as well as nursing aides come in and do what they have to do as well. So, like, it's just like, you know, array of people just in and out of their rooms, you know, all the time. But it's not, you know, family, so they ain't properly getting their proper rest or their proper relaxation that they probably would get at home. And on top of that, they can't have, you know, the interaction with their family they would like to have. The interactions are with us, the healthcare workers. So, you know, I always try to make it, a nice interaction or a convenient interaction when I'm dealing with patients, because you know you're not in a predicament. You don't know what it's like to be away from your family, not have anybody to hold your hand or to hug you when you're going through these trying times. Not like the family can stay there all night, but just to be able to, you know, have that warm embrace every now and again, I think it means a lot to the patients. So that's been a difficult time. So I'm really empathetic. You know, with the patients, and you know, just knowing that they have so much going on and they don't have the family members there. And the oncology patients, they've been able to have patients. When I was there the other day, you know, I was seeing one of my patients do a OPEP, secretion clearance, and the IS, the sinus spirometry, which is the lung inflation. And his neighbor had, you know, family there. And it just, you know, warmed my heart to know that he had that interaction with his family and be able to see them again. But it's been really different working on the oncology, you know, oncology department. And the listener reaction that I didn't think I was going to have, I'm glad I had it. It just gave me some, you know, it just brought me back to reality a little bit and made me thankful for some of the things that I might take for granted, or some of the things that I didn't, you know, put enough emphasis on in my life, you know, just, you know, to being alive, being able to live and to have, you know, motor functions and, you know, functions of my, you know, my neurological functions and, you know, have, you know, functions of my digits and my, you know, my toes and my, well, in medical world, phalanges, and you know, my arms, my limbs, and things of that sort. Like, it's made me roll back and be appreciative of those things, and just being appreciative to the job that I have, and to, you know, and to just healthcare. You know, that you know, we are, you know, making a difference, you know, in people's lives with a smile, with a, you know, a kind gesture, with a conversation, and with the care that we provide, you know. So that was just, you know, I haven't been on here in a while, and I just wanted to talk to the respiratory family. So that was, you know, a little breakdown about how I feel about working in oncology. Driving up here to the job, and I will talk to you guys sooner than later. So you guys be safe. Keep on doing what you do to make these patients, you know, lives a little bit better, and making your own life a little bit better in your own, you know, personal circumstance. And so we talk again. This is Let's Talk Respiratory. Peace.